man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things.
Okay, folks,
boys can't do.
Here we are. And let's just see here if this is the Trump Phenomenon Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. It is August 23rd. Yes, the day has arrived, 2023. August 23rd. It's the night of the Republican presidential primary debate, which is starting right about now. And Donald Trump's broadcast of his alternative interview with Tucker Carlson is starting right now. We're going to listen to it. So for the next hour, we will keep plugged into what's going on at the Republican debate among the Lilliputians. I think Steve Bannon calls them the Keebler elves or something like that. So we'll get a laugh out of that. But let's listen to the president for some serious thought with another serious thinker, Tucker Carlson. So let's start off right there. It's a live show. I don't think we'll do too much call-in tonight. James in Vancouver, if you want to call in, you're always welcome to call in, no matter who's talking, even if Donald Trump is talking. And that call-in number is 512-248-8252. Let's launch into Tucker right now. This is tonight with the president. Let's find Tucker, where here he is, talking to Donald Trump today.
It's debate night, but we're not in Milwaukee. Mr. President, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Why are you at the Fox News debate tonight in Milwaukee?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been asking me that, and many people said you shouldn't do them, but you see the polls have come out, and I'm leading by 50 and 60 points, and, you know, some of them are at 1 and 0 and 2, and I'm saying, do I sit there for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it's going to be, and get harassed by people that shouldn't even be running for president? Should I be doing that? And a network that isn't particularly friendly to me, frankly. You know, they were backing Ron DeSanctimonious like crazy, and now they've given up on him, and it's a lost cause. It reminded me very much of 2016. You know, in 2016, I went through the same stuff and had to fight them all the way, and then they became very friendly after I won, or just about when I was winning. But I just felt it would be more appropriate not to do the debate. I don't think it's right to do it. If you're leading by 50, 60, I have one problem, leading by 70 points, and I'm saying, why am I doing it? And I'm going to have 8 people, 10 people, whoever made the debate, I don't know how many it is, but I'm going to have all these people screaming at me, shouting questions at me, all of which I love answering, I love doing, but it doesn't make sense to do them. So I've taken a pass, as you probably noticed.
I did. I'm grateful that you did. It's interesting, though, because you spent a lot of your career in television.
Yeah.
You had a top show in television on NBC. But you don't feel the need now running for president to do television, obviously. Do you think television is declining?
Well, according to a poll that I guess we just saw, it just came out where it's down like 30-35%. But I think they were referring to cable. I think cable's down because it's lost credibility. MSNBC, or as they say, MSDNC, is so bad. It's so wrong what they write and what they do and what they say. It's fake news, as I said. I think I came up with that term. I hope I did, because it's a good one. It's not tough enough anymore. It's corrupt news. You know, really what you do is called corrupt news, but somehow that doesn't play as nicely, but it is corrupt news. So you have MSNBC and you have CNN, who's absolutely doing no ratings at all. I mean, they're dead. But they're doing none because they don't have credibility. They really don't have credibility. Fox is way down, as you know. And the good old days are long ago. I will say this. It could come back, but they just don't have a lot of credibility. Tucker, you know that perhaps better than anybody. I think it was a terrible move getting rid of you. You were number one on television, and all of a sudden we're doing this interview, but we'll get bigger ratings using this crazy forum that you're using than probably... probably the debate or competition.
When you say there are people on stage who shouldn't be running for president, who do you mean?
Well, I don't want to really use names, but it wouldn't matter too much. A guy like, I call him Ada Hutchinson. It's Asa, but I call him Ada.
Why do you call him Ada?
I could tell you, but I don't want to get myself in a little trouble. But he's weak and pathetic, and he was, I never understood the guy, never knew him. He was the governor of Arkansas, not a very popular guy. I don't know how he, but that state is such a great state. The people are so incredible in that state, and they love me, and I love them. How does this guy get elected governor of Arkansas? But he's nasty always and has been. A guy like Chris Christie, the guy left with a 8%, think of it, 8% approval rating in New Jersey. Now he's running for president, and he runs solely on the basis, let's get Trump. He's like a savage maniac. He's like a lunatic, and that's all he talks about. His poll numbers are very, very low. He's about 2%.
What's he like? You know him well.
No, I've been friendly with him over the years, but I couldn't give him a job because I just never trusted him very much. I was just never one of his people that really trusted him. I never gave him the job, and that's one of the reasons he feels so hurt and so betrayed. And I understand that. I really do. I understand it, but I never gave him. He wanted to be different things. He was looking at different elements of the administration, and I didn't want to do it. And now I'm glad I did, because you see, but we had some great people. I had great people. We'll have even better people if we do this, because now I know Washington. Before, I didn't know Washington. But guys like Bill Barr were terrible. I mean, they were, I would say, Bushies. I say that with respect to the Bush family, but they were Bushies, and it doesn't work out for us.
It was clear, this is kind of far afield, but it was just interesting. I read Barr's account of his time. He wrote a book about it,
right?
His autobiography. And in it, he lies about Jeffrey Epstein's death. Clearly lies. Do you think Epstein killed himself sincerely?
I don't know. I will say that, he was a fixture in Palm Beach.
Yeah.
I don't know what Barr said about it either. I have no idea what he said. What did he say? He killed himself, probably?
He said he killed himself and that they were going to do this investigation. They never did the investigation. It's never been public. Well, and they hid it. And, why are they doing that? And clearly Barr knew. But why would Bill Barr be covering up the death of Jeffrey Epstein?
Bill Barr didn't do an investigation on the election fraud either, okay? He said he did, and he pretended he did, but he didn't. McSwain, the U.S. attorney in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, said Barr just wouldn't let him do it. It was crazy. Barr became so petrified, so frightened of being impeached. We're going to impeach him. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah.
It's not a big moment in history. But they said, we're going to impeach. They play a much rougher game, the left, the lunatics. And they were going to impeach Bill Barr, and he was petrified. Now, how do you not get impeached? Don't do any of this stuff. But he didn't do the job there. I don't know what he did with Epstein, but possibly he didn't.
Do you think it's possible that Epstein was killed?
Oh, sure, it's possible. I mean, I don't really believe. I think he probably committed suicide. He had a life with, beautiful homes and beautiful everything, and he all of a sudden he's incarcerated and not doing very well. I would say that he did, but there are those people. There are many people. I think you're one of them, right? But a lot of people think that he was killed. He knew a lot on a lot of people.
He was killed.
I think so?
I think the closer you look, I'm not a conspiracy person at all. I believe everything I hear. But yeah, the closer you look into it, I mean, the Attorney General of the United States, your Attorney General, clearly lied about the Epstein death.
Yeah,
and
he was.
Why?
He was certainly, it wasn't well done. They had no cameras. They had no anything. Everybody was sleeping. And, a case could be made. Look, I'm not going to get involved in it. But I can tell you, a case could be made either way. But it certainly wasn't the most well-run place.
So the reason I'm asking you is I'm looking at the trajectory since 2015 when you got into politics, you know, for real, and then won. There, it started with protests against you, massive protests, organized protests by the left, and then it moved to impeachment twice, and now indictment. I mean, the next stage is violence. Are you worried that they're going to try and kill you? Why wouldn't they try and kill you, honestly?
They're savage animals. They are people that are sick, really sick. You have great people in the Democrat Party. You have great people that are Democrats. Most of the people in our country are fantastic, and I'm representing everybody. I'm not just Republicans or conservatives. Right. I represent everybody. I'm the president of everybody. But I've seen what they do. I've seen the lengths that they go to. When they make up the Russia, 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 when that's exposed and they go down, and Barr should have gone after them, and other people should have gone after. And they did very late because the Durham report came out. It was fairly good. It could have been a lot tougher, I guess, but it was fairly good. But it explained how corrupt it was. I'll tell you who did a great job was the Inspector General Horowitz. He did a phenomenal report. You didn't have to go to Durham. He did it on Comey and on, I guess, McCabe and some others. And it was a vicious, it was basically a true report, how bad they are. But these people are sick people. These are people that I think they hate our country. You want to know the truth. When you see open borders, when you see these policies that they have and so many other things, it's so sad to see. You know, we have a country that's very fragile.
No, I'm just going to turn it down just a little bit for you folks. I'm looking at the screen here on Twitter. 22 million people are listening with you. Well, and your voice doesn't count. Your listening is not even counted on this. They count just me because I'm rebroadcasting it to you. I count as one listener, but there are thousands of you. It's now 24 million. It went from 22 million to 24 million within this last sentence. That's way bigger than anything Fox is getting right now.
It's like so easy. But we had judges that didn't want to look. We had people didn't want to get involved. Do say they could. You, he's a conspiracy theorist if you say anything about the election. But I have never seen spirit like there is right now. Even coming down here, just the people on the road that are just absolutely going crazy. And the reason is, I think they like me, and I know they love my policies. I hope they like me too. You know, a lot of people say they don't like me, but they like my. I think they like me, but. I have never seen spirit like it is right now.
It went from 24 million to 26.1 million in the next sentence. This is history in the making, folks. It's 28 million right now. Went up another 2 million. This is unbelievable. This has never happened before.
I retired the net. That was a good day for her. I bet she was very happy. And I used it for Joe because it's Crooked Joe. But Joe is really...
But you don't think he's going to make it to November of 2020?
Well, I think he's worse mentally than he is physically. And physically, he's not exactly a triathlete or any kind of an athlete. You look at him, he can't walk to the helicopter. He walks. He can't lift his feet out of the grass. You know, it's only 2 inches at the White House, right? That's not a lot. But you watch him, and it looks like he's walking on toothpicks. So, and then you see him on the beach where he can't lift a chair. You know, those chairs are meant to be light, right? They're like 2 ounces. Yeah. You lift them up. He can't lift the chair. He can't walk to the chair. And I don't know what they're doing with the beach. You know, this beach is seeming to play a big role, but they love...
Just went to 30 million.
He looks terrible on the beach. He looks terrible on the beach.
Skinny legs.
Well, he can't walk through the sand. You know, sand is not that easy to walk through. But when he walks through it, he can't walk through the sand. And there's somebody in there that thinks he looks fabulous at the beach. I think he looks horrible at the beach. Plus, the beach doesn't represent what a president's supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be working. You're supposed to be getting us out of that horrible, horrible...
It just went to 32 million. Folks, you're part of history right now, and you don't even count. It went to 32 million, just counting me as one listener through whom you are, all of you out there, thousands of you are listening.
Hundreds of thousands of people are being killed. Can you imagine you're in an apartment house and rockets are going into that building and blowing it up and knocking it down? And who can, why should anything, why should anybody, human beings, is a human, whether they're Russian or Ukrainian or whatever they are, It's got to be stopped, and it can be stopped very easily. It would have never started. If I were president, it would have never started.
So back to Biden, I'm interested. So you think he's failing. He obviously is failing. I think it's clear to everybody.
But just went to 36 million.
Well, not really. I mean, I guess they'd have maybe a free-for-all. A lot of people say she has to remain for certain reasons, the candidate. She has to. I don't think that's true, actually. I don't think that other people would stand for it. She has some bad moments. Her moments are almost as bad as his. I think his are worse, actually.
Yeah. She seems pretty senile, too.
She speaks in rhyme. It's weird. It's weird. But she has bad moments. And
in rhyme? What do you?
Well, the way she talks, the bus will go here, and then the bus will go there, because that's what buses do. And it's weird. The whole thing is weird. This is not a president of the United States future. And I think they probably have some kind of a primary, and other people will get involved.
Newsom, right?
I mean, could be. I mean, you know, I always got along well with him, believe it or not. But could be him, could be somebody else. He's got a big load on his shoulders, because you look at California, what's happened. But I don't know if the American people really, the people that vote for him, I don't even know if they care. You know, you look at so many of the things that are going on, and people don't seem to be. In the old days, if you had a bad record, it meant a lot. Today, if you have a bad record, it doesn't really mean anything. You know, he looks good. He's a nice looking guy, speaks well. But Biden, every time you watch him talking, it's like he's walking on eggs. You're waiting for him to collapse. And he almost always does. And I got to know the leaders of all of the countries, essentially, but the big ones. And the bigger, the tougher the leader. You know, it's like sort of, I guess maybe that's the way it's supposed to be, but I got to know.
Let me pause it just for a second here. It's currently at 42 million. James in Vancouver is on the line. James, are you there?
Yeah, I told you so.
James.
The ratings?
Yeah. James, listen.
Can you hear me?
Right now, it's the audience listening to Donald Trump and being interviewed by Tucker Carlson is at 42 million people.
It's going to pass
at the same
50,
time. 42 million people.
Going to pass 50. Wait and see.
Unbelievable. And the Republican debate going on right now in Milwaukee, maybe, who knows, but maybe they'd be lucky to get two or three. I don't know what they're at.
And Trump is killing them with his comments. He's just murdering them. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's now headed towards 40. It's 42.3 million listening to Tucker and Trump. So the audience wants to hear the Orange Man. And by the way, I may have to modify. I don't know, the Orange Man. His hair is definitely now like mine. It's silver.
Well, yeah.
So I'm going to have to come up with a new moniker. He's not the Orange Man anymore. He's high-o silver away. He is the Lone Ranger.
Okay.
He does have massive nuclear power, by the way. And if Hillary would have gotten in, or if the Obama thought process continued, it would have been a nuclear war, absolutely, with North Korea. He was expecting to go into a war, and it would have been a nuclear war.
So do you think the rest of the world looks on at Biden and thinks someone else has got to be running the government?
Well, somebody else has to be. I don't think he's capable of doing anything. Look, when I debated him, I said, how come, and this was in front of probably not a friend of yours, Chris Wallace. He was the moderator.
Not a friend.
I said, why is it he wants to be Mike, but he doesn't have the talent? It's one of those
bitchy little man.
He wanted to be his father, but he didn't have the talent of his father. His father was great. His
He's
father,
a little fussy man.
His father interviewed me in 60 minutes. It was actually a 10. Can you believe it?
No, I totally believe it. His father had talent, at least.
I may have been the only guy that he gave a good 60 minutes. So he was rough.
Really?
His father was tough. He was great, though. He was great at what he did. But Chris Wallace was so upset. He was guarding this guy, who wouldn't do a show, by the way. You know, he wouldn't do. I figured, I didn't mind Chris Wallace because he wouldn't do, Biden wouldn't do a show. And it was very obvious. You know, he kept asking him and asking, but he wouldn't do the show. So I figured he's got to like me. But
it's debate night.
Okay, I just did something bad. Let me try to fix what I just did. Oh, unforgivable. Audience is now at 49 million.
That's right.
And you know, some of them are 1 and 0 and 2. And I'm saying, do I sit there for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it's going to
be? Oh, okay. Here. Now, sorry, folks. I goofed you up a little bit. Let me try to rehabilitate myself. Here we are. We're back where we were.
Much about them. They know where the money comes from. They know where it is, who paid it, and they probably paid it. Well, they do pay Penn, and he gets $1 million. I think it takes $999,000 because, you know, keeps it a little bit under a million, like by a dollar. But he, in many ways, is a Manchurian candidate. We have a Manchurian candidate, and he's afraid to tell Russia to get out of Cuba. He's afraid to tell China to get out of Cuba. He's afraid. China now is building, think of this, China's building military installations in Cuba. The Cuban population of Miami is not too happy because they're never going to be able to go back. And you don't even hear about it. And the worst culprit is the press, the media, because normally, you know, when I first heard that, that China's building installations in Cuba, and installations means military installations, okay, you know, they said just some communication. They did that on the islands with Japan. They took the island, they started this massive construction, and they told everybody, including the Japanese had to be very careful, they told everybody that this is a housing development. They're going to build a housing development. And I said, how come the runway is 20,000 feet long? You know, private jets need 4,000 feet. They don't need 20,000 feet. The big ones need 20,000 feet. They don't even need 20. And I looked at the runway. I said, that's the largest runway ever built, both in width and length, for housing development. There's nobody that has a plane that big that you would have a runway that's
why
that's
is China
testing.
Allowed to conduct imperialism in our hemisphere?
Well, yeah, and it's far beyond Cuba. It's all over South America.
Yeah, and the Caribbean.
So we built a thing called the Panama Canal. We lost 35,000 people to the mosquito, you know, malaria.
Yeah.
We lost 35,000 people building. We lost 35,000 people because of the mosquito. Vicious. They had to build under nets. It was one of the true great wonders of the world, as he said, one of the 9 wonders of the world. No, it was one of the 7. This happened a little while ago, you know. 9 wonders of the world. You could make 9 wonders. He would have been better off if he stuck with the 9 and just said, yeah, I think it's 9. But this is one of the true 7 wonders of the world. And you take a look at the Panama Canal. It was such an incredible engineering marvel. We sold it under Jimmy Carter. We sold it to Panama for $1. The following day, they quadrupled the amount of money the ships had to pay to get across. They didn't lose one ship. And now they've made it much bigger, and now they've widened it. They've doubled it, right? They've more than doubled it. And it's one of the most profitable things. Any time, it's just incredible, right? We gave it away for $1. China now controls it. They actually control the Panama Canal. They run it. They control it. And we shouldn't let that happen. And we can't let China be in Cuba. And they'll get out. If I'm president, they'll get out. Because I had a very good relationship with President Xi, but he respected this country. He respected me. And he'll get out. And we can't let them run the Panama Canal. We built the Panama Canal. Should have never been given to Panama. We should have had it. But we gave it for $1. Think of it. They quadrupled. In one day, they lifted the fees, which are, you know, pretty big for these massive ships to go through, right? Rather than going around the Cape and through all the tremendous storms, such beauty, such, you know, when you, it's beautiful stuff. But you didn't want to get caught in those storms. Those were storms that wiped out the biggest ships. And we go through the Panama Canal, we built it, and we gave it away for $1. Think of that. How stupid are we? We have done the stupidest things in this country. And now we have a president that can't put 2 sentences together. Can't speak, can't walk, can't talk. I don't think he gets to the starting gate, but these people do miracles. I mean, he ran out of his basement, and you got away with that one because of COVID, so he sort of got away with it. They cheated on the election. But you have people that are very smart, but they're fascists, and they're radical left lunatics, and they're destroying our country with the all-electric cars and the windmills all over the place, which, by the way, don't work, and they're all, most of them, made in China. For the most part, they're made in China. Germany, a little bit, but China. But you look at what's happening to our country, even no voter ID. I mean, why don't they want voter ID? There's only one reason they don't want voter ID, because they want to cheat. Who doesn't want, you know, the Democrat convention, the last one, they had voter ID that was this big. It looked like a prison card, this big on their chest. You walked in, they had your picture, your this, your fingerprint. They had everything, the most incredible voter ID I've ever seen. That was to get into the Democrat National Convention. But to get in to vote, if you buy groceries, if you buy any, practically anything now, you have ID on a card, credit cards or otherwise. And
but that, don't you think it's racist to have to show your ID?
Well, they probably say that. They use anything not to show ID, because voter ID is pretty simple. And we could go back, and we should go back to all paper ballots, voter ID, same-day voting. You know, France did it. France had mail-in ballots, and it was terrible. Anytime you have mail-in ballots, you're going to have massive cheating on your elections, anytime, not just the presidential election. Anytime you have...
Isn't that the whole point of them?
Yeah. So you can cheat? Oh, yeah, sure. It's the whole point. That's their whole point. They want to cheat. Yeah. They have to cheat because their policies are so bad that if they didn't cheat, they couldn't get elected. Who wants open borders? Who wants high taxes? Who wants high interest rates? Who wants to not be able to use a gas stove or have to drive an electric car, which, you know, you have a 4-hour drive, but the car only goes an hour and a half, so you have to charge it. The happiest moment for somebody in an electric car is the first 10 minutes. In other words, you get it charged, and now for 10 minutes. The unhappiest part is the next hour, because you're petrified that you're not going to be fine to another charger. People, I'm saying, if people, I'm not knocking electric cars, they're fine. They're fine. But if people want to buy a gasoline car or a hybrid, hybrids are pretty good, actually, but they should be allowed to buy. They don't want to do any of this. So right now, California is in a big brownout because their grid is a disaster. The grid all over the country is sort of a disaster, but the grid in California. And yet they want to have in a very short period of time millions and millions of cars going off that grid, essentially. It doesn't work.
So plug your car into a grid that's
failing. You should be able to buy an electric car. You know, electric cars could be fine if you drive short distances and you want to have, you know, whatever, and you have plug-ins everywhere you go. They could be fine. But you got to have gasoline cars. You got to have everything. Let people buy everything. Now there's the new thing is your heating systems in the house. They don't want you to have a modern day heating system. They want you to use a heating system that will cost you at least $10,000 to buy and won't work very well. You know, none of the stuff works as well. One of the things I did with EPA is you have states, many states, most of the states have so much water. You know, it comes out of heaven, right? The water pours down and you have it. It's there. It's got to go wherever it goes, into the oceans, whatever. It's not like a big problem. Now, in some states, they have a problem. You know, you have some desert areas and all, and for that, it's okay. But they have sinks where no water comes out. You turn it on, no water comes out. No water comes out of the shower. No water is allowed to go into the washing machine for your dishes or for your clothing. Or what. And I voided all of that.
Wait, they have sinks where no water comes
out? Sure, you have restrictors. When I say no water, very little water. You want to wash your hands, right?
Yeah.
And you've seen this. And you turn on the sink and it's very little. Or you want to wash your beautiful hair, right? And you're standing under a shower. Then the suds never go. The water comes out very slowly. I'm sure you've seen this. It usually takes place in new hotels and new homes.
Yeah, you take a drill and take the limiter out.
Well, you can, but now they make it so you can't do that so easily. They have a restrictor. It's called a restrictor. And it restricts the water from coming out. So I ended all of that. And you have to see these. They let the water come out. You know what people do? They wash their hands like five times longer. Or in the washing machine, they'll press for their... Let's say the dishwasher, they'll press it. Then they'll press it about 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
They'll end up using more water, and it still won't be very good. I met with the head of Whirlpool. They were practically going out of business during my administration, and they said to me from Ohio, incredible, great state. I love Ohio. And they were really doing badly because people were dumping washing machines all over, mostly from South Korea, but also from China. And he was complaining. It's just a terrible situation.
Let's take a little break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Okay, we're back, folks. Now, we've got two things going on at the same time. We've got Tucker Carlson interviewing Donald Trump, and he's got, let's see how many people are watching that right now. That has 73 million viewers. Did you get that, James?
Yes, sir. 73 million.
Come on. I've never heard of such
those
a thing.
And now
we're missing, and this is what we want to listen to. So let me turn that up just for a second. But apparently it's a real train wreck over at the Republican debate. It's really bad. Let me read you. They're giving a kind of a blow-by-blow account over at Breitbart. They can't broadcast.
I should be president.
Here's
the time.
Brett Baer and Martha McCallum asked for a show of hands of the eight candidates, the eight losers, if they believe humans are causing climate change. And before anyone could raise their hands, Ron DeSantis began yelling. And then Vivek Ramaswamy then said, DeSantis' answer, which nobody could understand, suggested that he meant to raise his hand. Then Ramaswamy accused everyone else of being bought and paid for. Oh, this is too good. What? Then Chris Christie interjected to insult Ramaswamy.
Oh, dear.
And then the Fox anchors threw it to Nikki Haley to answer. She quotes Margaret Thatcher and then launches into a policy explanation about climate issues. Then next, Ron DeSantis pops off about COVID and lockdowns. Ramaswamy comes back and hits Pence and DeSantis as puppets. Ramaswamy calls Pence and, this is too good, DeSantis as puppets of super PACs and references uncovered documents from DeSantis' super PAC crafting his debate strategy talking points. The Fox News anchors, Bear and McCallum, scramble to regain control of the conversation and then throw it to North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and then to Asa Hutchinson for their comments on the economy. Pence gets his first comments. He says he defends his record. Then after a back and forth between Pence and Ramaswamy, things get a bit testy. Now is not the time for on-the-job training, Pence says, taking a shot at Ramaswamy. Let's see. Then Ramaswamy is asked by Bret Baier why voters should choose him over a more seasoned politician. Then Ramaswamy answers this way, quote, "I am genuinely worried that the American dream will not exist for our two sons if we don't do something." Ramaswamy says, arguing that for too long, even among Republicans, career politicians have been hurting the country. Haley is up next, and she bashes Republicans for overspending. She takes a shot at DeSantis, Pence, Scott, and Trump right off the bat. Let's go back. I'll look for some more gems here. Let's go back to the president. This is the real story is the president with his 70 plus million listeners. Let's go join him and be part of that audience.
Just as viciously as they did me. These people are sick. They will go after them. And a lot of people say they won't be able to hold up. I do get credit for holding up quite well, I must tell you. I think it's...
How do you do that? How do you get indicted, you know, every week and stay cheerful?
I think it's a lot easier because I'm so high in the polls, because it means the people get it. The people see it's a fraud. The people see it, like this horrible district attorney from just a little while ago, from essentially Atlanta, that's Fulton County. She said, basically, I don't have any right to challenge an election. Well, what about Stacey Abrams? What about Hillary Clinton? What about all of these Democrats that are still challenging my election? The same people that are saying he's challenging an election challenged my election. And they did it with slates. They did it with all sorts of things. They were very bad about it. But basically, they're suing me and they're saying, you don't have any right to challenge. And if you challenge an election, we're going to indict you and put you in jail. So what they're doing is they've weaponized, and don't kid yourself, the DOJ and Biden and the whole group, they're watching all of this stuff. They love the local stuff, you know, the DA in Manhattan. Not only that, they put one of the DOJ top people into the Manhattan DA's office to run things. They don't even have a case against me. It's not even a case. Everyone says, even the Democrats say, you can't bring these cases. You have no case. The attorney general or the district attorney, Fannie Willis, in Atlanta, she's getting killed. Basically, she's saying Trump doesn't have the right to criticize an election. But you've been around long enough now. You've seen many elections criticized. I mean, Hillary Clinton goes crazy. Every time she talks, she says, he's not the president, Jimmy Carter said, he's not the president. Well, I am the president. Hillary Clinton called me, by the way, at 3:02 in the morning to congratulate me the night of the election.
Did her voice crack?
Well, her voice was it's very different, I will say. I won't get into that. But
what do you mean?
Her voice was very different. Don't forget, they were all celebrating at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I came home and I said, you know, I think we won. I felt we won because the rallies are so big. You know, we'd go to Wisconsin and we'd go to Georgia. We'd go to different states in Michigan. We'd have rallies in Pennsylvania. We had 58,000 people in Butler. And I said, you know, how are we losing this? How do you have a rally where you have from 50 to 100,000 people, many of them? You know, I did seven a day for a couple of days. That's a lot. That's a lot. These are big rallies, too. And I didn't hold back. I didn't say, let's make them little, let's do abbreviations, right? But they challenged the stuff. Yeah. Hillary called me up and conceded. Now, the word is that Obama said, you have to do that. But she called up and totally conceded. But now, you know, every time you see her on television, she's saying, like, well, she's challenging the election.
Do you think
so? That would mean that she should be indicted. But that would mean also that Stacey Abrams in Georgia should be indicted, because she still thinks she won the election for governor. She still thinks that. She's never recanted. And
Do you think Stacey Abrams will be indicted for that?
No, of course not. She won't be. The Democrats don't get indicted for things like that. They don't get impeached. No, it's a different thing. With that being said,
yes,
I had great support when they did impeachment hoax number one and impeachment hoax number two. Jim Jordan, the House was fantastic. And actually, the Senate was very good for me, other than, you know, Mitch McConnell. I think if he had, it's too bad I endorsed him. He was begging. He was going to lose that race, and I endorsed him. And he ended up winning the race because of my endorsement. He was down. He was going to lose to Amy McGrath, $90 million in cash, all set to go. She was leading by three. He was going down. I did him a favor, and then 3-4 months later, he really wanted to impeach me. He's a bad guy. But if you look at what's going on politically, so interesting. The level of loyalty is different in politics than it is in normal life, I will say. With that being said, I've had great loyalty also. But the House was fantastic. The Senate was very good. You know, they overrode Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, in my opinion, was trying to get senators to impeach me, especially for the second one. And on the first one, he acted very, very slow. He should have gone much faster. But Mitch McConnell wanted to, and the senators went up to guys that are subservient to him because he gives money. You know, he gives them money. He gives them a lot of money. He raises some money, and he gives it to them, and therefore they do what he said. That's the only form of leadership he's got.
So last question. If you're elected president again, what's your number one priority? When you ran last time, you said, I will build a wall. This time, your bottom line, top promise to the country.
So you can do numerous things at the same time.
Of course.
But let's say number one is border. And taking hundreds of thousands of criminals that have been allowed into our country and getting them out and bringing them back to their country, Guatemala. By the way, not only the four countries that we think of as neighbors, all over the world. Last month, we had 149 countries represented. Think of it. We had 149 countries represented, Tucker, from places that many people never even heard of, coming into our country. And they're coming in from mental institutions, and they're coming in from prisons. They're emptying out their prisons all over South America. They're emptying out their mental institutions. Terrorists are pouring into our country. We have no idea. I had the strongest border in the history of our country, and I built almost 500 miles of wall. You know, they like to say, oh, was it less? No. I built 500 miles. In fact, if you check with the authorities on the border, we built almost 500 miles of wall. And I had another 200 that I was going to build. You know, it's like water. It seeks. And we're going to build another 200. We built it. It was all set to go. All they had to do was install it. It would have taken 3 weeks. And that's when I found out. I said, I think these people actually want open borders. The first thing I would do would be I would seal up the border good and tight, except for people that want to come in legally.
Do you think we're moving towards civil war?
There's tremendous passion and there's tremendous love. You know, January 6th was a very interesting day because they don't report it properly. I believe it was the largest crowd I've ever spoken before. And you know some of the crowds I've spoken before. And like July 4th on the mall, I think they had 1 million people there. But I think that the biggest crowd I've ever spoken before was on January 6th. And people that were in that crowd, a very, very small group of people, and we said, patriotically and peacefully, peacefully and patriotically, right? Nobody ever says that. Go peacefully and patriotically. But people that were in that crowd that day, very small group of people, went down there, and then there are a lot of scenarios that we can talk about. But people in that crowd said it was the most beautiful day they've ever experienced. There was love in that crowd. There was love.
That's right.
Unity.
That's right.
I have never seen such spirit and such passion and such love.
That's the way it was.
And I've also never seen simultaneously and from the same people such hatred of what they've done to our country.
So do you think it's possible that there's open conflict? We seem to be moving towards something.
I don't know, because I don't know what it, you know, I can say this. There's a level of passion that I've never seen. There's a level of hatred that I've never seen. And that's probably a bad combination.
Donald Trump, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very much.
Thank you.
That is a bad combination.
Bad combination. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Okay, now let's go back to the live coverage, which is just a commentary coverage at Breitbart, and let's see what's going on here. Okay.
How many did we end up with? How many viewers?
Oh! I didn't look as it ended. Oh, okay. Let me go see. 74.3 million.
Okay. All right.
74.3 million. And okay, so let's go back to Breitbart. That was a good ending there, the combination of love and hatred and anger, and both President and Tucker said that's a bad combination, and it is. That is a recipe for civil war. Let's see. I'm just going down here. So here's some live updates. NBC News has discovered a document that shows several Trump aides were listed as banned from the premises. Jason Miller and others specifically listed as being barred from the debate room. Okay, very good.
Yep.
Fox, this is by Fox and by the RNC. Let's see here. Fox News is, this is Jason Miller, he writes, Fox News's never Trump bias against President Trump apparently now extends to his supporters as well. It's tacky, it's petty, and it explains why their ratings are in the toilet. Okay, then Fox is trying to deny it's their own document, but it's obviously their document. Okay, let's see what we got here. We got Peter in Pennsylvania. Peter, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to say the Republican Party didn't think it was too important to publicize their so-called debate. It's not on ABC, NBC, CBS, and the Fox channels I get. It's not on there either. It's totally
dead. That's an interesting twist. I'm just playing with my microphone here because I've somehow managed to pick up some hum. I hope it's not messing up the signal for you folks at home. So that's a good man on the street report, Peter, that they're making it go into the memory hole. It never happened. Donald Trump and we MAGA patriots, we don't exist. But it's not going to work. Or let's hope it doesn't work. See how I managed here to generate some hum. How did I do that? Oh, in any event. Well, Peter, thank you very much. I'm going to go back to reading the commentary, the blow-by-blow commentary from Breitbart. Let's see. I'm just
they're
scrolling
reporting
down.
The debates on another network, CNN. I see it on CNN. I see it in the newspapers. ABC 7 Chicago, they reported
right.
it. Philadelphia Inquirer. The New York Times.
Okay, let me go down here. I'm scrolling down.
AP News.
Yeah, let me. I'm going to refresh myself here. Hit refresh and see what Breitbart. I'm counting on somebody to give me a live streaming text update. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John. Big John.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Why don't we liberate these United States? We're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first. Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who has been cursed? There's things to be done all over the world, but let's rebuild America first.
Okay, we're back, folks. And let's see, I think I've solved my my hum problem. So I'm looking now. The Tucker's interview with the president is concluded, and that had 74 million viewers. You were present as history was made. It was a good interview. It's very good. And the president, as always, hit the ball out of the park. So I'm just looking now at Breitbart's effort to give us a blow-by-blow account of what is going on at the Republican debate. And they have an interesting twist here. They mention at 9:37 Eastern Time, during a commercial break, Ron DeSantis and Chris Christie were seen having a powwow on stage. So they're talking with each other. Interesting. And then they had a convoluted debate on stage about abortion. And everybody disagreed with everybody. Everybody had their own personal prescription for abortion. And Haley disagreed with Pence, who disagreed with Haley. And Hutchinson disagreed. Burgum disagreed. Here's an update at 9:50 Eastern Time. This is Breitbart writing. After trying to push GOP candidates to back leftist views on climate change and abortion, next Fox News anchors, and this is Brett Baer and Martha McCallum, I'm assuming, try to push gun control on the candidates. The story of the night so far might be how much of a food fight this debate is. Thanks to anchors who have no control over what's going on and how the Fox News anchors are trying to push the candidates to the left on major issues. Still, no immigration questions, by the way. So, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, the number one question, which is the open border, somehow Fox, Brett Baer, and Martha McCallum, or whoever, is doing the so-called interviewing for the moderating. Doesn't have enough imagination to come up with that. And here's Donald Trump Jr. offers a tweet on that. He says, "This GOP debate is like watching high school kids do bad model UN." So we'll have the full line score tomorrow night here on the Trump Phenomenon Clubhouse. So join us then, and we'll give you how they did in the bad model UN in high school. You all remember that. See you tomorrow night, folks. So long. Don't stop.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.